I'm always up before the birds and the kids. Good thing Costa Express is always up too. Early starts are easier with great coffee. And if I grab one for Bob, I might even get some decent company.
Large cappuccino for the bloke who's half asleep.
Oh, you legend. Now that's a proper coffee.
Should kick in just in time for you to remember which end of the screwdriver to use.
Costa Express. Quality coffee every time.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I was teasing Tim a little bit. If you're watching on YouTube, you might have caught that. Tim hates it when I click my pen during the podcast, but it's just a nervous tick that I have, Tim. I can't help it.
Well, one, I can't help if I make you nervous, but it's not me that hates it. It's all the comments and the listeners between the pen clicking / the mouse clicking and then your sniffles. It's just, I think we're losing listeners because of it. So it just... just clean up your side of the street. That's all I ask.
I know. The sniffles are something I cannot help. I've had one rhinoplasty because I obviously was a fighter and we break our noses. The very next season, I crushed it right away. I played a game in Washington and I went to hit somebody. I think it was, who was it? Eller or Orlov or one of those guys. And his helmet just bent my nose sideways. Like right away, I knew it was crushed again. And if you've ever had a rhinoplasty, so painful. And the recovery is so annoying because they stick two huge plastic things up your nose and you have them in there for like a week and you can't breathe. You got to sleep sitting up. It's just a mess. And so I just thought,
yeah,
you did that.
I had one too. Yeah. I had a deviated septum where like I couldn't breathe out of one side just from, I was born that way or something. But yeah.
Yeah.
That recovery sucked.
It was horrible. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And then to go through all of that and then to break it a few months later and it was worse than I had initially. So it was just, now I can't breathe and I'm on the right side of my nose. So it's just a case of I sniffle. I'm just trying to breathe. There's multiple times during the year where my wife wakes me up and she's like, I thought you were dead because you stopped breathing.
Yeah.
Because I'll take a deep breath and then I won't breathe for a while. Or I start like choking or something. And she's like, I think you're dying. I had to wake you up. I'm just like,
That's crazy. That's the same thing where I would just stop breathing. And then I would just like gasp for air in my sleep. Yeah. Never woke me up. And so if someone hadn't told me, I probably would have, who knows, you know? And yeah, funny. We're the same person, John.
It's the cross we have to bear, Tim. What can I say?
Not easy.
It's not easy. But anyways, I apologize if I try to keep a good distance away from the mic. But as Tim knows, I get excited, especially when I talk about things that I'm passionate about, which is hockey, which is life. But you know what I'm not passionate about, Tim? This damn playoff format that we've launched into. I think it's been about, I want to say 7 to 10 years that the NHL revamped this new playoff format instead of the old way where it used to be everybody's ranked from 1 to 8. The season ends. We've played 82 games. Each conference you have, okay, the first place team played the 8th place team and 2 to 7, 3 to 6, 4 to 5. That's how it went. Then at the end of that round, you would reseed. The top seed would play the worst seed and away we go. It made sense. It made perfect sense. Why they changed it was two pronged. A, the travel, because you might get dinged with the bad travel. If you're a team in the East Coast, just say you're Boston, all of a sudden you got to fly halfway across the country and you're playing a team, then maybe not halfway across the country, but you're playing a team that's really far away and it makes it difficult. Whereas you could play a team like Toronto would play Ottawa and that would be a benefit. And two, the first round matchups were just kind of a joke, so to speak, back in the day, because this was maybe pre-salary cap. This was pre, you know, how do you want to put it? What's that word where teams are more
disparity?
Yeah. Now teams are pretty close because they have a cap floor and a cap ceiling. Everybody spends the same amount of money, but it wasn't that way 20 years ago. The New York Rangers were spending a ton of money and a team like the Arizona Coyotes were spending nothing. So you would get a matchup and it would just be lopsided. So there was, the first rounds were garbage and the NHL needed to fix that. So the way they fixed it was this new playoff format. You play within your division for the first round and then you jump outside of your division for the second, third and Stanley Cup finals, obviously. Well, in theory, that works great. It has made the first round very, very exciting. The matchups in the first rounds are compelling. There is hatred between these teams because they play each other all the time because they're in the same division, and it's excellent. But what that, the cause and effect of that is now in the third round, Tim, a lot of the time the matchups are garbage. And it's again this year. The Carolina Hurricanes played in their division first round. They get the New Jersey Devils. Devils stuck. They skated past them. They get the Washington Capitals in the second round. Capitals maybe overinflated record. They beat the Capitals fairly easily. Now in the third round, they face the Florida Panthers, and it's just not enjoyable. Not enjoyable whatsoever. And the same can be said in the West, where in the first round, you arguably get the great matchup of the playoffs when you get Dallas and Colorado. A fantastic series, lots of storylines, Mikko Rantanen in Colorado, two great teams that you would expect to be in the Stanley Cup Finals, potentially, they're both out. But then you get a series where it's LA and Edmonton, maybe not that exciting, maybe because they have a history, whatever, but you lose good teams in the first round. You jump to the second round, not great matchups. Now here we are in the third round, Dallas and Edmonton. It seems exciting, but it's not, Tim. I don't know, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this too, because it's like, if it was a 2-2 series in the West, and you can see, okay, Florida's juggernaut, they were running the table in the East, and then you have this great series in the West, which we thought would be a great series coming into it, but it's just not worked out that way. We're going to talk about some of the past years, but the idea, to your point, it works on paper because of the rivalries and the travel and all the things you mentioned, but what you should be seeing is that with each round, obviously the better teams are advancing, and the series should get better. The hockey should get better, the pace, the physicality, but that's just not happening. We really saw some of the best hockey, maybe in the whole playoffs, in the first round. And I think that's a great for the TV when there's all these teams in it, and I'm sure Bettman's printing money for those 2 weeks. And then you get to these and there's no one watching anymore. And the people that are watching aren't super entertained. Unless you're a fan of one of these four teams, which most hockey fans aren't, there's not a whole lot to go on right now. And the games aren't always super close. And you know, it is disappointing. And you look at how that compares to other years, because I think both series are going to end up going five the way things are looking. That's not always the case. And you kind of see that year over year.
Yeah. And if you were to go back to the traditional 1-8, this matchup, Dallas Edmonton, would have been the first round matchup. Dallas was the third ranked team in the West and Edmonton ended up being sixth. So we would have had this matchup early on. And then once you get past that, Tim, then Edmonton in the second round potentially plays Winnipeg. How great would that have been for hockey fans?
Amazing.
Edmonton, Winnipeg, then you would have had the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche. Then in the Western Conference Finals, you would have obviously had, I would have think the Colorado Avalanche would have played the Edmonton Oilers. Fantastic matchup. But you just get robbed of that. And it's even worse in the Eastern Conference because of the road that the Carolina Hurricanes took. If you do the traditional matchups, and I know we touched on this before, I think last episode, because I was fired up of it, you eliminate the bottom three teams right away. The Senators, the Devils, and the Canadiens are gone. Then I think the Hurricanes get bounced by the Panthers. It's funny how it works out. The first round matchup, if you go 1-8, this is the third round matchup that we have because the Hurricanes and the Panthers would have played in the first round. And that would have been it. The Hurricanes would have been bounced. All would have been right in the world. It would have been in the second round, the Capitals playing the Panthers, and you would have got the Lightnings and the Leafs in the second round. Then it would have been the Panthers and the Leafs or the Panthers and the Lightning in the final round. And that would have been great hockey. Panthers Leafs in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's beautiful. That's fantastic. But here we are. And we're left with this Eastern and Western Conference Finals, Tim, that like it's good. It's good hockey, but I think we all can agree it's not what we should be getting. And as hockey fans and people who, like you said, Tim, the hockey should be getting better. And it's tough to look at these teams and go, gosh, the Carolina Hurricanes are still here. And when you look in the Eastern Conference, there are better teams that are golfing right now. And in the Western Conference, I know the Dallas Stars, on paper, they're great, but whatever it is, whenever they get to the Western Conference Finals, they fall flat. This is the third straight year they made the Western Conference Finals, and they haven't been able to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But I don't know, will they ever go back? Do you feel like we're just making a big deal out of this? Because it does irk me a little bit when I tee up to watch a game, and I'm expecting two great teams to go at it, and it's just like a stinker. It's like, this is boring. This is not fun. I want to see hatred. I want to see great plays. I want to see great hockey, and we're not getting it.
Well, that's what you'd see in the past in the 1-8 format. You'd see in the conference finals would be like the peak Sharks versus the peak Hawks, right? Or Crosby versus Ovechkin, or the Rangers, the Bruins, and all these great teams. And, you know, last year they both won six in the Western and Eastern Conference. So that was a pretty good result. Although I remember Florida, you know, was much better than the Rangers for most of those games. But the year before, Florida swept Carolina four games. The year before that, Colorado swept Edmonton four games. Like, you're not seeing. And then the year before that, 2021, New York Islanders versus Tampa in the Eastern Conference Finals. But this is the COVID year. You know what I mean? And so Tampa beats Montreal in five games in the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, this is a weird, you know, COVID bracket. So, yeah, I think we'd all benefit. Everyone's talking about it. I think the reason we don't probably has to do with something with Bettman's ego. And I think at the end of the day, the owners, you know, are thinking about travel and expenses and all that. But you're sacrificing the TV revenue. So I think we should go back to the 1-8.
Yeah, I know the players were on board with this playoff change just because of the travel. Because you don't want to travel crazy amounts throughout these playoffs. Because once you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, you're flying literally across the country. And if I'm Toronto and I look up and I got to play Florida in the first round, I'm like, damn it. Like, I really have to go that far. But it is what it is. And I guess they have that now that they're in their division. But it's kind of, I don't know, it's ruined the playoffs a little bit. Because you get that lull in the third round where it's just like, dang it, it's not fun. Everybody gears up. It's like March Madness. You gear up for that first day. It's so exciting. And we talk about it and everybody else talks about it. The first round is fantastic. It's absolutely incredible. Every game is edge of your seat. The guys hate each other because they've been playing each other all season long. Wouldn't that be great if there was Stanley Cup Finals on the line?
Well, yeah. I mean, it feels like 6 months ago now, but the first round we call the best first round ever, certainly in recent history. And I wanted to ask, because you were in the league when they made this switch, like, do you remember that decision? Do you remember how guys were feeling at the time, or do you not really care?
It was just one of those things where no one really noticed it. It was brought up and everybody thought, oh, you know, better TV ratings, more money in our pocket, less travel. It does make sense. There wasn't much foresight to thinking, how is this going to affect, you know, the playoffs in the second and the third round? Because everybody was just so laser focused on that first round because the viewership was down. They were all, you know, four or five game series. It wasn't enjoyable. It was just a prelude to the second and third round. But at the end of the day, what it does is it punishes a team who potentially gets the second seed. And that's happened a lot in the Atlantic Division, where Tampa Bay wins and Toronto's second, and then they got to play a juggernaut in the first round. So you really need to get that first seed. And it also incentivizes the wild card, where it's like, okay, you don't want to be in that wild card to play the first and second spot. So you want to get out of there. I get that. But gosh, it sucks. Because then this year, it's fantastic. The first round is great in the Western Conference. Winnipeg, St. Louis, Dallas, Colorado are all great series. Edmonton, LA, Vegas, Minnesota, all great. But at the end of the day, I want to see those series in the second round. I want to see that in the Western Conference Finals. I don't want to look up and see Florida beating Carolina 3-1 and Edmonton waxing Dallas 3-1. And yeah, I know Dallas could come back and it's a different story in the West because Dallas is a really good team. But, you know, maybe Dallas would have been bounced in the first round. They would have been. Edmonton would have beaten them.
Yeah, and Edmonton also had a pretty big collapse, or a credit to Dallas for a big comeback in, what is it, game two or something. So that's like, it could have been a sweep. You know, it was pretty close to them winning all four games here. So hopefully, you know, we'll wrap these series up sort of quickly and get to the finals, because I think that will be a rematch and it'll be a very exciting one. Like last year, seven games, unbelievable. I think we'll see that again, hopefully this year, which is the one nice thing about this format. At the end of the day, the two best and most exciting teams typically advance to the finals. Just not the road we want to take to get there as viewers.
And can we start? And listen, we were both all in on the Dallas Stars. They go out and they get Mikko Rantanen. They have a deep team. They have veteran leadership. They have a great goaltender. They got Miro Heiskanen back. All the ingredients are there. When you look at a team and what they need to be champions, they have it. They have guys who have won Stanley Cup. So they have that pedigree. They have guys who have been there, done that. They have young players who are hungry. Every box that you think you need to build a championship team, they check every single one. What the hell is wrong with this team, Tim? Why are they not succeeding? Why can't they just slay the dragon that is the Western Conference Finals? This will be three straight years for them now, losing in the Western Conference Finals. This is a great team. And people are comparing them to my former team, the San Jose Sharks, where you had the Marlowes and the Pavelskis and the Jumbo Burns, all these teams, players, I mean, and you can't get past that. They make the Stanley Cup Finals once, but is it a fair comparison for these Dallas Stars?
I think it is. And obviously, we're very critical of teams like the Leafs. And I think we've been started to be more critical of the Hurricanes for their lack of playoff success, because they feel like we should have seen them take the next step over the last couple of years, and they haven't. And I think it's time to do the same thing with the Dallas Stars. And I didn't realize till about 10 minutes ago that they had been in the Western Conference Finals 3 years in a row and haven't even gone to seven, I don't think, in any of them, you know. So it's not that close. And I guess for the most part, the teams they're losing to are well, might go on to win because they lost to Vegas. And I think the Edmonton has a solid chance to do it again this year. So there's always something to be said about losing to the winner, but you need to see more from Dallas. And I think that criticism is fair to say.
But then whose lap does the criticism fall the most? Because they have a lot of really, really high end players. Is it the JB Benn? Is it the veterans? Is it Tyler Seguin? Or is it the young guys? It's not Ottinger. I think Ottinger's playing great. I don't think it's his fault that they're losing. Is it the defenseman? Or is it just a blanket across the board? Because even in this Western Conference Finals, Miro Heiskanen has played good, not great. Mikko Rantanen, not the same guy we saw in round two. Thomas Harley's taken a step back. Rupe Hintz, like everybody across the board has struggled. Is it just a case of these guys just don't have it? Are we overestimating their play? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think you have to look up and down the lineup. I don't think it's on any one guy. Like, you'd love to see more from Anthony, for example, where he put up like 12 points in five games and then 1 point over his last eight. Like, that's not good enough. You need more from guys like Sagan and Ben, but also you have to look at the guys who are in their prime, like what should be the guys that drive the team right now, which is Robertson, Hintz, Heiskanen, and I would even throw Wyatt Johnson, as young as he is. Like, these guys all think to be better. Wyatt Johnson, by the way, I don't have it in front of me. He's like something like minus 16 in the playoffs, 18, which would be the worst, I think, ever. And it's not even through four rounds yet. So it's crazy. And yeah, I think it's everything. It's everything. And we talked about this on our stream last week. It's hard to out superstar a team like the Oilers because no one has superstars like they do, but you need more from your stars for sure.
And this is a guy, Johnson, who's a plus player. Like, he's not typically a dash guy. And that's a huge thing when he's played 17 games and he's dash 18. So I don't know. I don't know how to wrap my head around. I think this is just a case of the Dallas Stars have a really, really strong team. Really great. Year after year, they're contending. They're doing their best to try to put the best players on the night. Jim Neal won general manager of the year last year. He should win it this year. He's done an amazing job with this team, but they have ran into an era where, you know, you get the Colorado Avalanche and it was McKinnon and it was Rantanen and Makar, and they were just unbeatable. Then you get the Vegas Golden Knights where it was Stone and it was Eichel. It was Pietrangelo. They were just unbeatable. Now you're getting the Edmonton Oilers where it's McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard, and you just can't compete. And they're in an era in the Western Conference where, holy hell, like there's incredible players. If you put Dallas in the East Conference, maybe they make it to the Cup Finals a couple times. But there are some very, very strong teams in the West, and they can't get over that hump. I don't think their superstars match up with other teams' superstars. You know, when you look at Makar and you look at Bouchard and you look at Pietrangelo, Heiskanen's great, but I don't know if he's on the same level of those guys. Maybe he is. And especially the forwards. Like, I get Robertson and Hintz and now Rantanen. It's McDavid, it's Draisaitl, it's McKinnon, it's Eichel. You know, those guys are, I think, maybe a step ahead of those guys.
Yeah, and that's where I think the Sharks comparison is fair, because that's a similar thing where they saw so many strong teams in the West during that era where it's like, you put them in the East, maybe they have a cup or two. Let's talk about the Stars. And I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Oilers, because we talked about this heading into the series where we all know the makeup of these teams. And for the Oilers to overcome Dallas's depth, they need basically three things to happen. They needed scoring from their depth players, because you know what you're going to get from the top two guys. You need other guys to step up. Two, you need strong play from your defense. And three, you need the best possible version of Stuart Skinner. Here they are, you know, a week and a half later, they're up 3-1 in the series, and all three of those things have come true. The depth has been there. We talked about, you know, it's late at the second round and then into this round, like guys like Connor Brown and Adam Henrique and Evander Kane scoring some big goals. And now Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has taken over. He has 2 goals, 9 points, and just in this series, multiple points in all four games. He's been absolutely dominant right now. On the defense side, and this is where you have to give a lot of credit to the group as a whole, in this series, since game one, they've allowed only 1 goal at 5-on-5 over the past three games. Yeah. That's crazy. And that's where you have to think about Dallas as a whole. It's like not one player's fault. You guys aren't scoring. And the only reason you came back in that one game because you were gifted three power plays in like 6 minutes or something. But Nurse, Kulak, Wallman, and Bouchard are all playing 20 to 22 minutes a night. And Ekholm is still out, but he's inching closer. He could be back as soon as game five. So a lot of credit there. And then the final thing, Stuart Skinner. He stopped 28 out of 29 last night. Since taking the net back from Picard's injury, he's allowing a 1.55 goals against, 941 save percentage. That's like Tim Thomas, Jonathan Quick playoff level. He has three shutouts, and he's playing the best hockey of his career at the most opportune time, which is what he did last year
in
the conference finals. And he's outplaying what we all would think is a better goaltender in Jay Gottinger. And he's being the best in the world right now.
Is it frustrating?
Yeah.
Like it's so maddeningly frustrating. The guy gets healthy scratched because of his just terrible play in the first round versus the LA Kings. Like awful. Almost lost in the series. First two games, he was nowhere to be found, giving up 5-6 goals. Gets waxed, pulled. Picard comes in, saves that series, wins the next series, gets hurt. And now, like, if I'm a coach, like how do you manage something like this? What version of Stuart Skinner are you going to get, and how long until you implode again? But it's great. This is the guy that we all saw last year versus the Panthers. He was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Exactly what the Oilers needed. Everybody said, that's it. They found their goaltender. That's it. We can check that box. He's got a personality. He's got the mustache. He's got that bravado. Everybody loves it. And then cracks started to show this season. Oh, crap. He's not good. Not good. Playoff start, terrible. Absolutely terrible. And now we get to this where he's playing great. It's so frustrating to watch. And I talk to Oilers fans and I talk to people and they're just like, it makes you nervous. You still don't know what guy's going to show up every single game. And so the first couple shots, the first like 10 minutes, like, oh, who are we getting? What Stewie are we getting? And then he has 18 saves in the first period. Like, okay, nice. This is the guy that we need. And you need him because Dallas is a great team. But I think Edmonton is playing smarter. The first round really scared them a little bit. And they protected the house a little more. You know, they're not as outgoing as maybe they want to be, the defensemen. They want to jump up in the rush. And they're smart. They're playing great hockey. McDavid obviously is doing what he does. He's going to set the assist record again, maybe. He's already got 19. What did he have, 34 last year? Won the Conn Smythe. Like, just incredible numbers, set the record all time. But they're doing what they do, but they're not, and I've said this before, they're not sacrificing defense for offense, where I think they've done that last year and even earlier in these playoffs. They're just playing great hockey, Tim. They're waiting for their chances. They're getting power plays. They're not pushing or forcing it too much. And they're having success. Like Corey Perry arguably is the most dangerous player out there. He should have had another one last night. He should have had two, but he's playing great. McDavid's playing smart. The Hopkins, Bouchard, I don't know. They seem different. Even though the results are the same and they're going to be in the Stanley Cup finals, this team seems different than last year. Just the way they're winning and the way they're playing the game. I think they know Stuart Skinner sucks and they're playing to that. We're like, okay, we need to limit chances. We got to stay out of the box. We got to take care of the house. We know we'll get our chances. And then we build our way out. Where I think before they would just sell out in the D zone and everybody would be racing up the ice. So I don't know. It'll be exciting because we know what the Stanley Cup final is going to look like. It's Edmonton, Florida. But does it seem different to you, Tim? Even though it's the same group of guys. It's McDavid, Drysdale, Hopkins, Hyman, Bouchard, Kane, Perry. All these guys were here last year. Does it seem a little different?
It does. And I think, like you said, is not sacrificing defense for offense is such a huge thing. It's something that they've had to learn the hard way. And if I read you like these stats and this storyline, you might think without knowing he was hurt that like, okay, Matthias Ekholm has to be a big part of that.
Yeah.
Either cleaning up Bouchard's mistakes or just keeping guys away from the puck to limit shots on Skinner. And he's not even in the lineup. Like it's these other guys doing it. Jake Wallman is playing great. Darnell Nurse is playing great. Bouchard is playing great. And the other guys are just trying not to make mistakes. And so far they're doing it. So yeah, this does feel like a great team. And I still think, I mean, we'll get to this, you know, in the coming days and weeks, but Florida is just, it's impossible to think about a team beating them, but Edmonton's looking pretty good so far.
Yeah. And it might be a case of just, are we overestimating Dallas? You know, they snuck through the second round based on Mikko Rantanen just taking over game 6 and game 7. You know, maybe they didn't deserve to win that round. And now they eke into the Western Conference Finals again. And it's like, holy crap. Well, maybe this isn't the team that we thought they were. Because even in the first round, it was like, who are we going to get? What Dallas Stars teams are we going to get? And I don't know, Tim. Maybe we overestimated them. Maybe we just put too much stock in the Mikko Rantanen acquisition. Maybe we just thought this team was something that they weren't. Because they got, gosh, they got pushed in the first round by Colorado. They got pushed in the second round by Winnipeg. And now here we are in the third round. I think maybe their true colors. John in Slack's going to lose his mind because he's a big Dallas guy. But I don't know. Maybe this just isn't the crew. I've been saying that for years for the Ottawa Senators with their young group. I think Robertson's showing his true colors. He's not the guy he was when he put up 40-some goals a couple of years ago. Maybe Hintz isn't that guy. I just don't know how this team shakes out. They look great on paper, but when they get to play the elite of the elite, they don't match up. And it's sad because I like the team. I like the players. I think they're all really good, but damn, does Edmonton look solid. McDavid, Draisaitl, everybody's playing fantastic hockey. And then should we jump to the East, Tim? Or do you want to touch on this a little more?
Just one more thing. Zach Hyman is a big story right now. He left the game after that kind of knee-on-knee weird collision with Mason Marchment, which I think was obviously intentional. A friend of the show, Jason Greger, just tweeted out about an hour ago that he's not going to play in Game 5, and he's unlikely to return for the rest of this series, hopeful for returning in the playoffs. So whatever it is, it's pretty serious. And that's a big loss, even though he hasn't been the Zach Hyman of last year, but still very important to this team. And if he's out, that's a big hole in their roster.
Oh, yeah. He brings the energy. And it's so amazing when a player can feel when they're not producing. Like, he's a goal scorer. Like, that's what he does. He's a plumber. He goes in, mucks it up, gets the puck out of the corner, goes to the net, scores a goal. He hasn't been able to do that. And so he has transitioned his game. He's a hitting machine out there. Like, he's 100 and some hits. He's leading the playoffs. He's already eclipsed his 82 game total. Yeah. In the regular season. He's playing great, even though he's not producing the goals. So to lose him, it's a big hit. I don't think it's a huge hit, just because they have other players who can step up. You have Victor Arvidsson, you can put Puck Polson, you got Corey Perry, you got other guys to fill that hole. But it's a loss, and maybe Dallas gets a win and they get some confidence. If they can win this next game at home, go to Edmonton, steal one, you never know. I'm really stretching there, but yeah. It's funny they say he's out for this series, but he'll still play in the playoffs. Just that subtle, like, we're making the finals. You know, yeah. We've got the series won. He will be back, but not this series. So good for him.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. So in the East, the Carolina Panthers said, we're not going to be swept. I keep doing that. Carolina Hurricanes. I live in Charlotte. So took game 4, 3-0 shutout win. It was very close. It was 0-0 until halfway through the game when you had that snipe from Logan Stankoven. On that rush on Bobrovsky, and then it was 1-0 for basically the rest of the game until the goalie was pulled. So even though it was 3-0, it was still very much a one goal game in all ways that matter. So a big, you know, statement win from Carolina. And one of the things they did in addition to that goal from Stankoven was rely very heavily on Jacob Slavin, who played 28 minutes exactly, which is what you need. He should have been doing this entire series. He's just so good, and he can do it. Like, the way he moves, it seems effortless. They're going to need to lean on him a lot if they have any chance of coming back.
They don't have a chance of coming back.
Yeah, I set that one up.
It's nice. It was nice for Carolina to get this win. This would have been 4 straight Eastern Conference Finals of getting swept. Like, it would have been embarrassing. What is it at? 19 or 15 games they lost in a row. So to get this win, that kind of just eases that a little bit. But they will lose. They're going to lose the next game. Florida's going to be at home for game 5. This series is over. Florida was without some big guys for game 4. Ryan Hart was gone, Mikula and AJ Greer, guys who log a lot of minutes. So I don't know. I just didn't feel like the same Florida Panthers team that we saw in the first 3 games. That happens. These guys are already looking ahead. They're human. They've been just having their way with the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes, credit to them. They played good hockey. Freddie Anderson played great. They were playing smart defensive hockey. This is how they need to win. They need to win 2-1, 1-0, 3-1. This is the type of game that they love. And they were playing Hurricanes hockey, throwing pucks at the net. But it will happen. It's inevitable. Florida will win this series, whether it's in game 5 or game 6. But it was nice for Carolina to get the W. But yeah, Jacob Slavin, he's incredible. Freddie Anderson played pretty damn good hockey to him. Bob was playing good. It was just, I don't know. I'm so sick of this series already. I'm so mad that we have the Carolina Hurricanes in the third round. They don't deserve to be here. They really, really don't. And I'm sorry, but they don't. Sebastian Aho is not that guy. And Svechnikov. And where are they? Where are they? They're nowhere to be found. Florida's just all-encompassing. They're a better team. It's just, it's too bad we have this matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would have much rather had Toronto and Florida in the final. It would have been so fun. The ratings would be through the roof. That's another thing with this. The ratings are tanking. The U.S. ratings are atrocious. Canadians' ratings are great because Edmonton's still in it, and the Canadian fans will watch any hockey. But the big monkey, the big gorilla that just pockets full of cash is the USA. The ratings on TNT are down. The ratings on ESPN are down all across the board. Like, and it's not by a small little amount, Tim. It's not like, oh, 4%. It's like 25%. That's a huge amount. They're drawing less than 1 million viewers per game. And this is the finals. You should be having record viewers. So it's unfortunate that these teams are here. Carolina's fan base is really passionate, but small. Same with Florida. Same with Dallas. So it's just, wait till the Stanley Cup finals. That's when it'll jack up. You're going to have Edmonton and Florida. It's going to be incredible hockey. Let's just fast forward to that if we can. But we can't because we have game fives for both these guys. Carolina will hopefully just go away tonight. Just go away. God, well, here's a question. Will Rod the Bod be fired? Because it's been a long time. It's been the same thing over and over with this team. They play good in the regular season, good enough to get a good seed in the playoffs, and then you flame out in the playoffs, much like the Dallas Stars. Do you see a world where this guy gets fired?
Well, we asked this question to Aaron Ward, who's like, he's involved with that organization, and he said no. He's like, his job is not on the line. He has the full confidence in. I mean, the Bruins just resigned Sweeney, and it was a GM, but
they got a new coach too.
We're gonna talk about that. But the ownership they don't think the same way that we do on the outside. So no, I think his job is safe. Although I think they deserve a lot of criticism, and a lot of that has to be on the players too. I mean, Svechnikov, I think he had one shot total across the first three games. They had two shots in game four. Like, he just disappears in the playoffs, and he should be doing the opposite. It's very frustrating. And yeah, I mean, this is clearly an outmatched situation where it's like, how much can you blame them for not being as good as the Panthers? They are, or they are. But you want to see more of a fight. So I'm hoping that they at least, win a couple and turn this into a series and show us that they're, not going to just go down, but not looking that way. So, but to answer your question, no, I think his job is safe.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's going anywhere. Who would they get that would be better for this group? He's milking each and every season of these guys. It's good for them. They made the conference finals. It's a great season for the Carolina Hurricanes. All right, let's do some quick hits, Tim, and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you just mentioned it. The Bruins, it's not official, but they are expected to announce Marco Sturm as the next head coach. I love this move. He's been coaching, I think, in the OHL the last couple of years. Even
AHL, Ontario Reign.
AHL. In Germany before that. And he's one of my favorite Bruins of all time. I just, a couple of big goals. He had that big, huge overtime goal against the Canadians. He had that game winner in the Winter Classics. Just a great Bruin from a great time. So hopefully he'll come in and get him back on the winning record here.
He was part of that Joe Thornton trade. Wayne, yes. Primo, Marco Sturm from San Jose to Boston, Joe Thornton to San Jose. And that was a huge moment in Boston Bruins history, like massive.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny. I said this with Aaron Ward when we talked to him last month, that Sturm was around the same time and kind of was in that same bridge from the late 90s, early 2000s, just being horrible to the cup contending, culture that they built. And he was right in between those two eras. And I think he was really important. So, yeah, I've always really liked him.
Listen, we clamor and we beg for new faces to be head coaches in the NHL. And here we go. We got Marco Sturm. So I don't know. Do you think he changes the trajectory of the Bruins? Because I don't even know what you would call the Bruins right now. Are they a rebuild? Are they a retool? What is the name for this? Because you still have really good players on this roster.
It's the retool. And I don't have this in front of me, but when you have an elite forward, defenseman, and goalie under contract long-term.
Goalie is dead. The verdict is still out on the goaltender situation.
Well, he looked pretty good in the world. I don't know how much credit you give for that, but 7-0 with like incredible stats. I think it's, yeah, very disappointing season for him, and he deserves the pressure for that. But yeah, I think it's not a rebuild. You can't do a rebuild with the way the roster's built. And I think they feel like they can bounce back.
How about him? He wins the Worlds and he's given a quote. He's like, oh, it's going to be a great summer now. This is just setting me up. I'm going to have a great, great summer. Like, read the room. I don't know. Does that bother you as a Bruins fan to hear him say that?
No. Why? Why should it?
Well, because he was so bad in the regular season for them. But he gets to have a great summer because he went to Europe for a couple weeks and played great. And he's playing. Listen, the Team USA and Team Canada should be ashamed. They were garbage. But you're playing the likes of Denmark and Czech Republic and all these teams. You're Team USFNA. Like, you have all these great players on your team. And yes, you should win. Canada should win. You should be ashamed of yourself, Canada, for how you perform. But it's going to be great.
It's not the Bruins fans versus Swayman just because we're mad at him for a bad season. Like, we want him to play well. And if his confidence is up and he's ready to kick butt all summer, then yeah, I'm all for it. I was already mad at him for last season and I moved on.
Okay. It's going to be a great year. You beat Denmark and Sweden. Like, big deal. Who cares?
Well,
like,
give me a break. Yeah, that was the other thing that on my headlines here. First time in 92 years, which I had no idea. It's kind of crazy. Team USA won its first victory. Tage Thompson with the golden goal. So great for them. And a couple friends of the show on that roster, or at least one. Connor Garland was there and maybe some others. I'm not sure.
Well, they beat Switzerland in the final. Like, what the hell's going on here? Like, what's going on in the power rankings for these hockey? Because it's USA, Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark. Like, what happened to Canada? What happened to Finland? What happened to all these? Like, Germany used to be strong. It's just, it's topsy-turvy.
Well,
I don't know what's happening.
A lot of guys are also playing, you know, still. And
not Crosby, not McKinnon, not Marc-Andre Fleury. Canada just dropped a huge egg in this tournament. I don't know. Who knows? But USA, good for them. Yeah, first time, 92 years, blah, blah, blah. Good. Tage Thompson is just another one of these guys that... And let's get to that next one, because Frank Saravalli reports that the Sabres may trade J.J. Paterka this offseason. He and a few other players are unhappy with the lack of progress in Buffalo. Shocker. Shockwaves heard around the world that the players in Buffalo are unhappy with what's going on. What? Are you crazy? They're unhappy with how they've been playing the last million years? Would this be a mistake? If I'm Kevin Adams, sitting in my office, everything's going great. I just signed Stahl to a big deal. Oh, you're going to be an executive director assistant to the toilet. Good for you. Like, I'm happy. J.J. Paterka walks into my office, or his agent calls me. We want to trade J.J. He's not happy here. We think he would, you know, benefit from going somewhere else. What would you do? Would you allow this to happen? Or would you say, kick rocks? I want J.J. Paterka on my team. He's one of my great young stars. He was one of the few players last year who brought it every single game. He had a fantastic year. He was almost a point per game guy. He had 68 points in 77 games. Like, this is a guy I want to build around. He's only 23 years old. He was a draft gem. We picked him just at the beginning of the second round. So almost a first rounder. Do you tell this agent to beat it? This is a guy I want on my team for years to come. Or do you entertain this and do you trade this? And he becomes a list of guys who leave and just win Stanley Cups.
Yeah, that's the fear, right? And there's something to be said for, like, a guy not wanting to be there. And it's like, well, if you don't want to be here, then I'm not going to force you to. But at the end of the day, it's the GM's, you know, job to keep the best players there. And J.J. Paterka is one of them for the reason that you mentioned. And at the end of the day, I don't think trading him is going to get you any closer to where you want to be. The Sabres have a cultural issue because on paper, they're good. And the only way to change the culture is to change the guys at the top of the roster. I don't think Dahlin is the guy. I think you need him. But I'm looking at, like, a Tage and a Tuck and some of the other guys. And they already traded Cousins. Like, I think you have to. I don't think Paterka is going to move the needle. I think you have a seismic shift with a Tage Thompson level move to shake things up and bring in someone else. Hopefully, if you can find some fair trade value or something. But I don't think Paterka gets you anywhere closer.
They've already made that seismic move when they traded Jack Eichel. They've done that. Traded Ryan O'Reilly. They've done that.
Yeah.
It is an organizational problem, and you nailed it. And it starts at the top. I think Terry Pegula, when he came in, he put players and management and people in place that didn't really know hockey. He just threw money at the problem. He brought in big people from England who are part of the, you know, the soccer people over there. And it didn't work. I think they have to scrap everything. And I know it's tough to say because this rebuild is constant and ongoing and never ending. It's not working. And I think it is the players. I think it's the management. I think it's the president. I think it's everybody. I think you have to just get it. You can't get rid of the players. That trade for Joshua Norris was garbage. You don't pull that trigger if you're Kevin Adams. If you're trying to retool this team, I'm trading everybody else but Dylan Cousins. Like, I think that guy is the heartbeat of the team. I'm trading a Rasmus Dahlin. I'm trading an Owen Power. I'm mixing it up. my goaltender's garbage. I signed him to a long-term extension. He's got 4 more years on his contract, Lukanen. James Reimer was a starting goaltender at the end of last year for the last month of the season.
I forgot that.
37-year-old James Reimer. So there's a lot of issues here. You get rid of, I think, I'm sorry, Kevin Adams. One of, consider my buddy, but you have to, president gone, GM gone, everybody clean house, start new, get some fresh blood in there, get some accountability, and just see what happens. Because you have, like you said, decent players, but it's just, listen, if one of your good young players, who's an RFA, had a great season, point per game guy, gonna cash in this offseason. Like JJ Paterka, he made $900,000 last year. He could make $8 million this season. Like that's the jump that he's looking at now. He's got Alan Walsh as his agent. That guy's like just a shark. If he's asking to be traded, something's wrong. Like something is inherently wrong with your organization. It's not the city. It's not that. It's the organization. It's how you treat your players. It's how you run your staff. It's everything involved, because they have a great complex. They have a great travel schedule. Everything is top notch. Everything is taken care of. It is how you treat your players. And something needs to change. Call me. I'll run the damn organization. I will guarantee a Stanley Cup within 10 years. That's it. And if I don't have it, you can fire me after 10 years. That's my guarantee.
Okay. 10 years. Yeah, but you're going to get paid a lot of money that over that 10 years.
So. Oh, hell yeah. What do you think every GM does? What do you think every guy who goes in? I will turn this team around in 5 years. Just give me enough runway to run my organization and to get the guys in that I need in. We'll turn this thing around. Fast forward 5 years, 4 years, the team still sucks. Well, sorry, we got to let you go. Yeah, you've already given me $10 million. I'm out of here.
This article just came out yesterday of Manny Ramirez, the baseball player, just said he wants to get into being a hitting coach. He's like, I can improve the offense for every single team in the league. Just give me a chance and I'll teach you. And hopefully someone hires him, because I think he's right. The last thing here, just real quickly, we mentioned just back to Zach Hyman. While we were talking, the official word came out. He's undergoing surgery. He is officially done, which is brutal. No word on exactly what it is, but he's done.
That Mason Marchment's a piece of work. He is one of those guys who you would love to have on your team, but gosh, he sucks, doesn't he? He's just got one of those faces, and he just wears his visor up and chews on his mouth guard. He's like a Matthew Tkachuk, but just not as good. And he tries to play that role. Like, he's a hell of a player when he wants to be, but boy, oh boy. Do you answer that if you're the Edmonton Oilers? Do you send somebody after Mason Marchment? Because Zach Hyman, pretty big piece of your team. Do you say Evander Kane, go get him? Corey Perry, go after him. Much like Matthew Tkachuk went after Sebastian Aho, and he just went out of his way and said, I'm settling this score right now. Do you do that next game?
Yeah, I think you do, especially with a 3-1 series lead. Like, there's not a ton of risk there. Like, if you were to take a penalty or something or give up a power play goal, I think that's worth it, because you're sending a message not only to the Stars, but to the other two teams in the East as well. Like, don't mess with our guys. So I think it's worth it.
You're so violent. I feel unsafe when you talk like this. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's a good thing you're so far away right now.
I know. Just like at the start of the show, I said, you make me nervous. You make me uncomfortable. And this is why. You're unpredictable. You're a wild animal, Tim. You're an absolutely wild animal. And when you shake your shoulders like that, it just undercuts everything I said, because you look like a sissy when you do that. So please never do that again. You got to watch on YouTube to catch that action. But anyways, everybody, I think that's it. Anything else, Tim, you want to touch on?
No, I think we're going to be back tomorrow. And there's a chance that one of these series is wrapped up.
Oh, my gosh. The odds of the Panthers beating the Canes are what? 90%? Do you think they wrap it up tonight?
I think they do.
In Carolina, are you going to the game?
I'm not. But thank you for asking.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow. And there will be one team in the Stanley Cup Finals. Cheers, everybody. Why am I hoping for a Florida win? I don't know. But I want some closure. I want to move past this third round. Sucks. Edmonton, Florida Finals. Book it. Start it tomorrow. Get rid of the charade of the third round. Charade? Charade. What's wrong with
charade.
All right, everybody. Get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.